Hello, welcome to another Hooked on Drupal. This is Friday, May 13th, and we're following up on DrupalCon with a very special guest today, Steve Burge from OS Training. He gave us the inside scoop last time, and I'm also joined by...
Oh, hi, I'm Brad.
Brad, the usual developer anchor on Hooked on Drupal, and so we're going to be asking Steve some questions and get, and then also just kind of getting his note takedown from the Dries keynote. So, Steve, without any more introduction, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me back again this year.
So this marks how many consecutive Drupal cons for you?
Oh, I've been to 7, 8 or so. I don't have a consecutive streak. At least 1 year I've sent one of our team instead of me, but it's been a lot now. I think the first one was back in 2009, 2010.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good showing, and I know you were at LA last year, and we had a you know, little conversation there with Alex Fisher and myself and you. So, you know, maybe give us just a little comparison, this, you know, your overview summary of the event from year to year.
Oh, it had a really different feel this year. Even if you've never been to Los Angeles, you can imagine what it's like. In Los Angeles, it was downtown, and to be honest, you had to drive to get anywhere at all. Whereas New Orleans is, well, New Orleans is New Orleans. It's exciting, and people are walking everywhere. The downtown is entirely walkable, so you'd be bumping into Drupal people everywhere, and the convention center was, well, the convention center was kind of funny. It started right in downtown, but it was about a mile and a half long, so you'd see all these Drupal people enter the convention center at one end, and then emerge, finally getting to DrupalCon like a mile and a half later, covered in sweat and about ready to fall over.
So, you're just a couple blocks from Bourbon Street there, or?
Yeah, everyone was pretty close to Bourbon Street. It's really, really a lot more fun, I think, than LA. My experience at LA DrupalCon was jumping in a taxi to get anywhere, and you didn't really get the sense of bumping into people around town. Whereas New Orleans was a wonderful location. It's fairly small, fairly compact, and you could see Drupal t-shirts everywhere you went. Quite a few on Bourbon Street, but all around the French Quarter and around the downtown there too.
All right, sounds like a pretty festive event. Brad, have you been to New Orleans?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I couldn't tell you very much.
But you have the beads to prove it. You have probably a pretty good collection.
Some blurry photographs.
We were close enough to take my wife and kids this time. So we didn't even do any of the traditional New Orleans Bourbon Street stuff. But even so, it was still probably my favorite location I've ever had a DrupalCon in. So much to do. The weather was great. I've been to a lot of DrupalCons now, and I'd say New Orleans has to be the best location out of any.
Well, beautiful. Good to know that you had at least a good vacation experience. And if someone can make New Orleans family friendly, my hat's off to you. Good job with that. And so without too much more introduction, let's try to get into some of the content of DrupalCon. I know that you took some copious notes on the Dries keynote, and so maybe if you have a place to start there with conversation topics, and we'll go from there.
Well, sure. I've already said I thought that New Orleans was the best location. I think the Dries note was one of the best I've seen as well. It was pretty different from the last several years. The last several years, it's been an update on progress with Drupal 8. Things were kind of slogging along. How are we doing? How close are we to finally getting this thing out? And for the first time in a long time, I think Dries was really able to cut loose with some ideas as to where he wants Drupal to go. So his keynote was, you know, the first half. If you're watching again on video, you can probably fast forward through most of the first half. He introduces a survey, 2,000 people or so giving their feedback on Drupal. But at about the halfway point, he starts to jump into all the initiatives he wants to put forward. My guess is that most of these will end up in Drupal 8.2, 8.3, 8.4. I don't think anyone has the energy or motivation to talk about Drupal 9 yet. So although he didn't specify it, I think most of his initiative ideas were the things that could feasibly be rolled into a future update of Drupal 8.
Well, I've already heard Brad speak a little bit about the forthcoming Drupal 9. So, I mean, are you contributing to Drupal 9 core already?
I think Drupal 8 might be the OS X of Drupal versions. We might be on this one for a while with different cat names for each of the minor version numbers.
Yeah, well, and that would be a pretty good scenario, right, if you could ride it out. I mean, 7 had how many years of stable deployment?
It was 5 before, somewhere around 5.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so he, it was a different mode. I think the last time I probably heard him talk like this was back in DrupalCon Chicago, maybe, when he first proposed all the initiatives for Drupal 7. And out of those initiatives, maybe 60, 70% actually, became real things and ended up in the core. So it's interesting to look at the ideas he's throwing out now and assume that if he has a similar hit rate of 60 to 70%, there might be some really interesting stuff in future Drupal 8 versions.
All right, yeah, excellent. So any of those that you highlighted as, for anticipation or where did your notes take you next?
Oh, well, he tried to divide them between the user experience and the developer experience. On the user experience side, it might not be unfair to say that quite a lot of the ideas look like things which are heading into WordPress at the moment. He kicked off by talking about media management, which is long been a bugbear on Drupal sites, and he had some mock-ups done of really easy drag and drop interfaces for uploading images and then clicking a media button and browsing through a library of all the uploaded images. It seemed like a souped up version of the media module with perhaps a slightly slicker interface.
Yeah, I'm one of the 3,000 or so folks that took the survey, and as the marketing, you know, site builder guy, you know, I did kind of focus in on and I remember, you know, raising the request desired button for media management and stuff like that, because I mean that's the stuff I run into all the time, you know, especially working with other tools where you're dragging and dropping images and doing real time crops. And I know we can build that kind of stuff, but it's usually, it's an extra feature that you have to think about. So, you know, seeing that that's something top of mind, I was pretty excited about it as a day-to-day user of the actual content management.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone. I think that was the number one pain point in the survey results that he showed. The media management was the most requested new feature in Drupal, and that's where he started talking about making sure that it needs to get better. And presumably that's the kind of thing that could very easily be rolled into easily. Wrong word. it wouldn't require a major rewrite. It could be added in Drupal 8.2, 8.3, 8.4, without needing to rewrite the code base.
It's take pity on the people who install a media module or Scald or something and have to work it all back to use the core version of it.
Yeah, so if you go out of your way to build in an elaborate media management system and then it gets replaced by a
right.
core utility.
My guess is maybe they'd build on one of those. Maybe the like views went into the core, possibly a slightly different or slightly rewritten version of media may end up in the core in a future version.
Be very cool. So how do you feel about the outside-in interface concepts that I know that there's a lot of work up before the note about it seems like a lot of Dries's blog posts going into Con had to do with JavaScript frameworks and the outside-in editing experience, being able to do things from the front end that you would typically only be do from the back end, like rearranging blocks and things like that. From those pieces, what's some of the discussion?
Yeah, he talked about that in detail too. I think he had a lot of mock-ups of that done as well. Had some GIFs of how it would work. And that was one of the more controversial ones, I think. A lot of people mentioned that it actually conflicted with the idea of moving towards perhaps JavaScript frameworks and headless Drupal. Quite a few people saying, well, if we go down this route, how does that work with building an API into the core and spinning out a decoupled version of Drupal? So I think it's a nice idea, and you've seen something like the WordPress customizer move that way. But whereas everyone was standing up and applauding at the media initiative, the outside-in idea, I think, left a few more people kind of scratching their heads and thinking, how are we going to reconcile these two different approaches?
Sure.
So I think Dries seems to have a very clear idea of the kind of features he wants there. But I mean, I'm trying to remember back as to when he first put forward this discussion on the JavaScript frameworks and outside in. Probably at least a few months ago, right?
Right.
I think it's a difficult topic.
Well, and I mean, 8 was already kind of touting, I mean, some inline editing features, right? Like, what's the difference between the full outside-in approach versus inline editing?
Well, there's as you mentioned, the decoupled Drupal using Drupal as a content management system. That would be the thing that you're using it for, and then the front end gets built from making a request to an API.
So Drupal would, in that approach, would care less about what kind of front end interface is going to be attached.
So your front end could implement the same inline editing that you would use with a coupled theme. Taking that even further, you would have to do a lot of work to then implement the outside in interface in a decoupled system. So there is a little bit of conflict there. But if you're using Drupal as a coupled system, you could, and this is, you'd have to manage context and a whole lot of things. So it's a very complex problem. But with that, it feels a little bit more natural. You're like, I'm going to take this block and I'm going to place it where I want it to be, and I see where it is, and it's happening in real time, and I can save it without doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Drag and drop, instant save as you let go.
Kind of logged in user features rather than developer features or visitor features. So it's a that middle experience that is very important. It's the clients that we try to make happy.
Sure, the people using the delivered tool, what their experience is like.
I and the last few weeks, I guess I've ended up talking with quite a few people that have been asking for a system like this. They've often been, so we did some work for a state government, which is standardizing all their sites on Drupal. And they've got to the point where they've standardized all the state agencies on the Drupal platform. They're all on the same hosting company, and all of the agencies have their own Drupal site now, but they're finding a lot of frustration with the actual agency IT staff saying, this feels pretty limited. I don't get the opportunity to design my site for my agency exactly how I want. And so I think that's where those tools are aimed at, it's like a university system that may have rolled out 5,000 sites for all its departments and professors, something that's a bit more user-friendly in terms of allowing those site builders to customize their work.
Sure.
Do you feel like that's something that people want to put into a proposal as a line item without a lot of consideration, or is that a real-world thing that that people end up doing a lot, like messing with their layouts? Or is it a good idea?
Well, that's okay. There's two different questions and two interesting questions. Is it a good idea? How much control do you want to give people? It is a concern that I've heard. I think there's a certain experience out there now that you have someone who works at a university, works at a government agency, works inside a big corporation, and on their weekend, they may go and build a Squarespace site or a Wix or Weebly site, and hey, I'm used to this. This is what websites can do nowadays. And then they go to work, and they're faced with a Drupal 7 site that's been massively rolled out for them, and this isn't quite how websites are meant to work. Can't it do these drag and drop things? So I think there's some of these companies that are doing big deployments are getting that feedback from their users, that they feel it's a little limited right now. And from those kind of people, I think, are making these requests for a drag and drop page builder.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that struggle of meeting the Facebook expectation of functionality, you know, whatever people are used to in their day-to-day life, like you say. But, you know, it's tough. People probably don't have, or regular user doesn't really appreciate how limited Facebook actually is and the types of things you can do and how much structure is imposed. It's just, you know, you can put whatever photo you want on your wall instantly, and it feels like you did a lot, but you didn't.
And thankfully, we're getting years and years away from people remembering how MySpace used to work. Right. We have an animated GIF.
Yeah, you could do everything, and it showed.
So to give the listeners some background, you guys sponsored a Kickstarter that we did to produce lots of Drupal training for Drupal 8 to help people learn Drupal 8, and we've put out a beginner class already that we did with Acquia, and put out a whole bunch of site building classes that we did with InMotion Hosting as a sponsor, and those are on YouTube for people to watch.
So how many series have you published now? Is that two series of 50?
Yeah, two complete series of between 50 and 60 videos.
Nice.
And so with you guys, you chose to sponsor the migration videos to help people upgrade to Drupal 8. And so we've been having this ongoing conversation about just how ready the migration paths are. And with Drupal 8.0, the answer was really not at all. So we delayed the videos until 8.1 came out. And then the answer for 8.1 was better, but still not great.
Yeah.
And so we're still stuck a little bit in limbo in terms of helping people migrate to Drupal 8. And I think we felt a little bit of that frustration coming on the stage during Drew's keynote as well. He mentioned that he thinks that by the end of this year, Drupal 8 is really going to be accelerating and fully featured. He seemed to hint that Drupal 8 may overtake Drupal 7 in terms of features and in terms of use towards the end of this year. But he also mentioned, I think, that they're feeling a big push from quite a lot of their customers to really improve the migration process. And I think that was a common topic around DrupalCon, that people are ready for Drupal 8, but there's almost no migrations happening at the moment. 8.1 added some better tools, but there's definitely some things missing. A migration path for views is a very big one. And so it may be, we've had some emails back and forth on this with you guys. It may be that migration doesn't get really good until 8.2, until September, October this year.
Sure. Yeah, no, and it's good to, you know, I mean, and you were kind of talking about, you know, if we're going to produce these training videos, I mean, they might as well be complete, you know, to actually give people something to migrate. So, I mean, Brad, are there the key modules that you're waiting for to have a migration path before you would even consider it?
Well, from what I've seen, it looks like the contrib space is actually helping out quite a bit when it comes to migration, creating UI modules and things for different formats. So if you wanted to migrate using JSON files rather than the database or rather than some other format, you can use some contrib space stuff.
Okay.
So the core experience is the kind of the holdup there, and that's often the case.
Yeah, and I remember seeing that from Dries. He said, you know, there are three issues facing Drupal 8 adoption, you know, module migrations, user training, and then just, you know, total upgrade path.
Yeah, the contrib space is pretty good, although I think a couple of key modules haven't quite made it over. I know Webform is one. They're actually seem to be pushing the core contact module, which has got better. And so there may be some kind of migration path from Webform to the core contacts, because Webform seems a little stuck at the moment. Panels too, for sites that rely heavily on panels, I think there's a bit of a waiting period there. It may be in about 6 months, I think, that we can say the migration path is really solid. But I think it's also fair to say that it's a real holdup for Drupal 8 adoption at the moment, that the migration path is not quite probably what they hoped it would be.
Yeah, well, and that may be typical. I don't know. What was the wait like for tools to go from 6 to 7?
Well, from 6 to 7, Views was not in core. So,
oh, it wasn't even a part of the... Okay.
Right, so Views took a couple of months after Drupal 7 itself came out, and a lot of the people who were really jumping the gun to get Drupal 7 sites out were using very early alphas of Views to try to make it work. So that can always be fun. I don't really remember what it was like to try to... Vue 7 was getting developed, I can't remember whether there was like a lot of breakage or not, but Vue is very important. I'm glad it's in core.
Right. Well, and we've been in communication with some of our clients who, we even have a couple that are left on Drupal 6. What's the upgrade path look like for that, someone coming from 6 and considering a jump to 8 just for longevity?
You know what, I talked to one guy who's heavily involved in it, and he said that the migration path from 6 is actually a little better than the one for 7 at the moment. I haven't delved into the code, so I couldn't confirm that, but...
That's coming up alongside at the same time, it sounds like, if not a little faster.
I presume some of the phrasing, some of the ways that Dries mentioned, migration on stage, I think they're definitely feeling the pressure, and I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't a huge push from Acquia and perhaps some of the other big agencies as well to really improve the migration path over the next few months. Hopefully they have a bit more in the way of spare resources now that, you know, most of the key modules have moved over and Drupal 8 is stable. I suspect that may be the next big focus for a lot of people is the migration path.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, those were some of the hotter, I guess, technical things that I picked out from the keynote. Brad, if you got something to toss in here, go ahead. But is there other highlights from the con or things that were presented or side panels or anything that were interesting?
One interesting thing that stood out to me was Pantheon. It seems an odd thing to mention, but when I first started going to DrupalCon several years ago, there were lots of big swanky booths. You could tell that lots of the agencies had spent $50,000, maybe $100,000 on building a super slick booth to win customers. I think one year someone even drove a car onto the show floor. And even in LA, it was like that too. For whatever reason, the booths this year were a little more subdued, but Pantheon, the hosting company, you could see were doing really, really well. They must have had five or six booths themselves. they were everywhere. They must have had a team of 30, 40 people there. Platform.sh as well, the company that grew out of Drupal Commerce, they were there in a big way. So I think that struck me. That a lot of the hosting companies, and in particular Pantheon, are really growing very fast. We did a training class on Monday. The last few years we've been lucky enough to get picked to do a training before DrupalCon, and just going around and talking to people in the class, it was amazing how many big companies who had sent their staff to the training were also using something like Platform SH or Pantheon as well. So I think that's a huge and growing part of the Drupal industry right now, are these specialized kind of developer-centric platforms that offer all these tools that you may not get on Amazon hosting or DigitalOcean or a more standard hosting company. You walked in and you saw the hosting companies.
those were the ones with the money to throw around. I mean, I've heard the Pantheon parties are still legendary.
Yeah, they had more booths, they had more parties, not just one, but I think several parties this year. I think they're doing well for themselves.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to see these hosting platform solutions come up as being key components of the economic engine, even for Drupal, the infrastructure. You know, a lot of our clients still have their own hosting environments. We're making some migrations to Pantheon and other solutions like that, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of focus on that in the future.
Yeah, and a lot of it's scaling. If you have your own standalone host, and then all of a sudden your thing gets shared on Reddit or Hacker News or something, the next thing you know, you have no way to get up and have your site not go down. So tools like Pantheon and Acquia's hosting and Platform, they all give some aspect of being able to rapidly scale.
Sure.
Yeah, a couple of the people we've worked with recently used to have their own data centers, and they'd often they'd have to build an enormous building somewhere that was out of an earthquake zone. They'd have to maintain an enormous server farm somewhere with all these redundancies. And so there's a lot of money available to move to the cloud. So I think you're seeing a lot of big companies sort of getting over the risk of, or getting over the perceived risk of moving to someone else's data center, maybe shutting their own data centers and moving to Pantheon or to Acquia or Platform SH, a company like that. And so those guys are really reaping reaping the benefits of all these companies moving to the cloud.
Sure. Yeah, no, that seems for even for a large company, the overhead headache of managing a facility is, it's usually, and it's outside of your core business. You become a property owner. I mean, all that kind of stuff makes a lot of sense for the way forward.
It was overall, it was probably the most interesting DrupalCon I've been to, with the exception of perhaps a couple in Europe where I got to visit a city I hadn't been to before. DrupalCon New Orleans was really interesting. I think it benefited from a great location, benefited from being the first one after Drupal 8 came out. Apologies to DrupalCon Asia. But the first North American DrupalCon after Drupal 8 came out. It was a really good experience. And if you guys listening have the chance to watch Dries's keynote as well, I think you'll find a lot of interesting stuff in there that may give some pretty strong hints to where Drupal 8 is going.
Sure. I imagine that if you watch it on the YouTube, that there'll be like a big annoying.
Yeah, we'll make sure there's a link or two on the blog post and the video to reference Dries' keynote. Steve, again, we thank you for being our man on the street down there to come back with the report. We weren't in attendance this year, but it's great to get the inside scoop as to what you experienced there and what to look forward to.
I think next year is a little closer to you guys. You're going to Baltimore next year.
Baltimore. Yeah, okay.
All right.
That sounds like a pretty good time.
Crab cakes, wire locations. It's going to be a great time.
It's the kind of place that doesn't immediately jump out and say, hey, it's not Miami or New Orleans, but there's definitely a lot to see in Baltimore. It should be a good location too.
Right on. We'll definitely stay in communication about the upgrade and migration path to Drupal 8 as it matures. And we've gone back and forth, but I think we're in for the long haul. We want to hold off and put together a training resource that is valuable for a while. So I appreciate your vigilance and kind of watching where that's at. And we look forward to that eventually hitting the shelf in YouTube. But we know it can't exist before it's ready. So thanks again for teaming up with us on that. And looking forward to the next DrupalCon. Maybe one of these we'll actually hang out in person.
Oh yeah, maybe do a live podcast next year.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh yeah, you can't keep me from Baltimore. I'm going.
All right, Steve, thanks again, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Wonderful, thank you guys.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks for joining us.